Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. I remember I was standing in a hardware store, which in and of itself is an unusual place for me. If you don't believe that, they can just ask you.
That's the truth.
I told Beth before we were married that I'd take her places she'd never been, do things she never dreamed of, but if something broke down, somebody else was going to fix it. For 46 years, 4 months, and 28 days of marriage, I kept my word. In fact, somebody called our house on one occasion and asked Beth if I was handy. She said, no, but he's close to the phone if you'd like to speak with him.
Ha, ha, ha. My joke.
That's your joke for sure. The truth of the matter is I could do it, but there are other things I prefer to do with my life, like reading and writing. So it is noteworthy. If you ever hear I'm standing in a hardware store or a Home Depot or Lowe's, of any of those places. But on this particular day, I was on a mission. It wasn't from God, but it was from my fine wife. While wandering through the aisles, I came across a spinning rack with various signs, and the Lord sparked my imagination. As I reflected on some of those signs, I felt led to relate them to the human experience or our spiritual life. For instance, there was a sign that said, beware of dog. Sadly, a lot of churches have Rottweilers and pit bulls.
Well, they might be good Rottweilers and pit bulls, but sometimes the reputation of some is not so good.
And we need no disrespect intended to the dogs. Perhaps people who are easily offended and loud, you know, sometimes it seems like they're ready to throw it down and duke it out. But that's not what the scripture says.
Listen to what Philippians 3, verse 2 says in the Message Bible. Steer clear of the barking dogs, those religious busybodies, all bark and no bite. All they're interested in is appearance. Knife-happy circumcisers, I call them. The real believers are the ones of the Spirit of God leads to work away at this ministry, filling the air with Christ's praise as we do it. That is good.
It is good. It's important to note that no self-respecting sign display would be complete without a variety of beware of dog signs. Next sign I saw said, for sale. Prompted this question. Are you for sale? Do your values, principles, and beliefs have a price? The for sale sign indicates that something's available for the highest bid or a specific price. Sadly, too many people, young and old, are for sale. I'm not talking about human trafficking or sexual liaisons, which are bad enough. We're speaking of people who are sitting with coworkers at lunch, and someone tells a dirty joke, and they laugh along with everybody else. They may think they're just appeasing the crowd, but truthfully, they just sold out their witness. Employees who call themselves Christians, but take everything from ink pens and paper clips to file folders or anything else that seems harmless and insignificant, have just sold their principles for a price. And sometimes for repentance. For those who have sex outside of the marriage bed with their boyfriend or girlfriend, regardless of how long they've been dating or how seemingly sweet the words of love are, they've just sold their virtue. Taking income without reporting it on your taxes, running a red light or breaking any other traffic law because there's nobody around, or maybe taking credit for something you didn't do at work or school, then your principles or for sale. In reality, if we compromise with sin, seemingly small or big, we've sold out our soul, and we should have a for sale sign placed around our necks. We have to think so we don't abandon our heartfelt principles.
If they're heartfelt, and that's the key so often today. Private property is next. That's another sign that was spinning around the rack. My husband noticed at the hardware store. First, it's important. It's really absolutely essential that you, I, every other believer, understand that even though our name is on the deed to the house or the car, they don't belong to us. And we're not just talking about the banknote that may be holding them. And second, in a God's economy, we own nothing, but we get to manage everything. So we're being watched as a steward. Here's another observation and a question. The tangible private property that you're in charge of, are we effectively acting and reacting as a family steward? The money to which is entrusted to us, how are we handling God's private property? Are we spending His money, His private property, on foolish pursuits or maybe worldly enticed pleasures? Or do we kind of ask Him, or do we really ask Him before spending His money? Did He really want us to buy that 64-inch flat-screen TV, high-def, on 54 payment plans? Now, you might think I'm picking on the men. Perhaps I am. Did He answer yes when we asked Him about purchasing the $90,000 motorhome for our yearly vacation? If those things aren't at your home, you'll have to just think about what is, because we've all had something that's tempting us to lose our focus. And third, God is not against us having things. He just doesn't want the things having us. If where we live or what we drive or what we wear or what others think about us is more important than what God thinks, then we've really gotten away from the priorities in our lives and forgotten whose property we're really managing. On a non-financial note, let's put it that way. If we allow someone other than our spouse to have access to our physical body, that's a violation of personal property, because our body is not our own. Our temple belongs to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own."
The next two signs are ones that I can honor in the natural, but not in a spiritual dimension. First one that was on this rack is no fishing. Now, okay, I could promise not to fish for bass, perch, trout, or whatever other aquatic species can be found in your lake, pond, stream, or wherever. But when it comes to the kind of fishing that's talked about in Matthew 4:19, it's totally something different.
"And He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now that's a sign with the no fishing that we have to say yes fishing in the name of the Lord.
Because the bottom line is simply this. If you are a follower of Jesus, then you're to be a fisher of men, women.
Period and paragraph.
That's it. My 91-year-old father is one of the greatest fishermen I know. He led nearly 70 people a year to the Lord for over a long period of time, maybe 12, 15 years, something like that. But I vividly remember calling my dad several years ago on his birthday. In fact, I called him four times that day. But I'll always remember the last conversation. I asked him what was the best thing about his birthday. He said he went fishing. Even though my parents live on a lake, I knew that was not the kind of fishing he was talking about. You guessed it. My dad led someone to the Lord on his birthday. Here's the bottom line. You may not feel like you've been called to be a soul winner, but just know that God called you to be one, whether you feel like it or not. And one of the best ways to be a soul winner is to live the God kind of life and let His love and light shine through you. There's one more sign that I saw that I cannot agree to obey spiritually. It says, no hunting. No hunting. You know, I'm continually on the hunt to shoot down negative thinking, debt seducers, credit card crack dealers, and the devil of debt and lack. I'm pumped, primed, and locked and loaded for every trick, trap, lie, and deception and wile the enemy is using against the children of God. In fact, my passion, my commitment is to place posted and no trespassing signs
on the door of every believer who's been or has been ever tempted by the slew foot of unnecessary spending, the kind that's just going to drag them into trouble.
And honey, I make no bones about it. I'm a Holy Ghost hunter searching for the good life.
Amen. Proverbs 21, verse 21 in the Message Bible says, whoever goes hunting for what is right and kind finds life itself, glorious life. Now, that's a great scripture. That's a sign that you're heading to a good and a glorious life. You know, it's when you pick up that word of God and hold on to His promises and provisions. Wow.
One last sign that we may be familiar with, but the question is, are we living it? Welcome. Welcome. The Lord wants us to be a welcome sign.
Yes.
For those who've lost their way. There will come a day when we'll be judged for how we've welcomed those we've come into contact with. And only we can answer how well we've done our job, or perhaps where we need to improve. It's amazing how God can use a sign to point us in the right direction. And it's good to be able to read the signs of the times. And I can assure you this, the next time you're in a hardware store anywhere else that has a sign rack, you're going to look at it differently than you ever have before.
That's it. You know, when we go to church, or we interact with people or come up against, perhaps if you're not in ministry like we are, and you come in contact with people who are, you know, Christians with you, you know you want to look good. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we just looking good or are we being good?
That's good.
So, you know, a lot of people want to look good, but the question is really down where the rubber meets the road, are we living that kind of life?
You know, this is the second day of August, new month. I trust yesterday was very productive for you, but purpose in your heart to make August the greatest month of your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And then September, and then October. You know, we're always looking to go up.
That's it.
Always looking to go up.
That's it.
And grow up in Him.
Well, go to HaroldHerring.com if you've been blessed by the teaching at the top where it says, sow a seed. Just ask God what seed He'd have you sow. Do what He says. It's all we ever ask. Check out this week's two-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.